Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're tackling a really interesting idea, counterdancing digitality. It comes from Shintaro Miyazaki's work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that actually mean? Well, think of it as our active response, how we engage with the digital world, not just letting it happen to us.
Exactly. It's not about, you know, the latest TikTok dance, though the idea of movement is definitely key here.
Right.
Miyazaki uses counterdancing digitality to talk about how we can, like, intentionally push back against the negative stuff, the pressures, the impositions of our digital lives.
Like choosing your own steps when the music feels wrong.
That's a great way to put it, consciously choosing.
And what's really cool about Miyazaki's work is how he brings together things you wouldn't normally connect.
Absolutely.
We're drawing from his book, and it's this amazing mix. You've got media theory, some really sharp Marxist ideas, and surprisingly, deep thoughts about physical dance.
And that's the fascinating part, how he helps us see that the digital world isn't just there. It shapes us, sometimes in ways that feel imposed, right? Think about notifications always buzzing, or algorithms nudging our choices, or how automation affects jobs.
Totally.
Miyazaki wants us to think about how we can actively respond to all that.
He even uses this image, doesn't he? Dancing against the wind.
Yes. It's this, like, defiant but also creative wish to shape digitality ourselves collectively.
Okay. So our goal for this deep dive is to really get into what counterdancing digitality is all about, focusing on two main things, cooperation and our own bodies.
Mm-hmm. And the link between actual dancing and, you know, digital resistance, it's surprisingly strong.
I'm looking forward to that.
So to start, Miyazaki gives us four key points, sort of lays the groundwork.
Okay.
First, he looks at dance itself. He argues it's fundamentally social, a physical expression, yes, but also a kind of self-organization.
How so?
Well, think about learning a dance. You use memory, your body stores information, you transmit it, you process, you adapt. Cooperation is absolutely necessary.
Right, with other dancers.
Exactly. He even points out that Marx wanted to see rigid social structures become more fluid, more like a dance, you could say.
That's a powerful analogy.
Right.
Dance as organizing, interacting. What's the second point?
The second is about humanizing digitality. Now, this isn't about making our phones seem human.
Yeah.
It's more about understanding humanity really up close, our biology, our physical presence, and connecting that to digital tech.
Ah, I see.
Miyazaki sees potential for resistance here, finding our own self-driven dance against the digital rhythms. But he warns this shouldn't exclude or harm others.
So find your own beat, but keep it inclusive. Makes sense. And the third point.
The third deals with negativity. Miyazaki suggests counterdancing can turn that general unease, maybe even paranoia, like being susceptible to bad narratives, into something more positive and considered.
Okay.
He sees dance not as chaos, but as a critical, adaptive way to organize for societal change. He links digitality to big issues, capitalism, climate change, pandemics.
Wow.
Suggesting our response needs to be this collective, adaptable dance.
Our actions as a dance against huge problems. That's quite an image. What's the final remark?
Finally, he sees counterdancing as a kind of blueprint, maybe. A way to navigate crises without violence or injustice, bringing together parts of society that got separated.
And the theory behind this?
It draws from two interesting sources. The value critique of Robert Kurz, who was a Marxist thinker focused on technology, and German media theory, especially Friedrich Kittler.
Kittler, right.
Miyazaki's goal is basically to energize Marx with Foucault and catalyze the substrate with Kittler, bringing these critical views together.
Okay, that sounds dense.
Oh.
But fascinating. How do those two fields, value critique and German media theory, connect for him?
Well, he sees German media studies, particularly Kittler's branch, as building on Foucault's ideas about power and discourse.
Okay.
But Kittler zeroes in on how information gets stored, transmitted, processed by tech. And crucially, he argues these technologies aren't neutral tools. They have their own logic. They shape us.
So not just instruments.
Exactly. Miyazaki contrasts this with just seeing digitality as a means to an end, especially profit. He talks about technological obstinacy, the idea that tech can push back, have unintended effects.
So it's about how we interact with it, how it shapes us. He mentioned his earlier work focused on technicity. How is this different?
Yeah, he acknowledges his earlier stuff didn't fully get into the politics, the social side. This book dives right in, exploring how digitality might create new social rhythms, new dances that could challenge, maybe even undo, the current capitalist system.
And the book's structure reflects that.
Totally. Part one builds a theory of cooperation, looking at commoning and computing, updating Marxist ideas for the digital age.
And part two.
Part two gets specific. The moves, the rhythms of this counter dance, describing it prefiguratively, so like sketching it out ahead of time.
And the overall feel is resistance.
Definitely. He calls it critique as counter dance. Borrowing from Judith Butler, critique isn't just judging, it's questioning the rules, showing things can be different. And he pulls in Foucault's idea of critique as an experiment, trying to move beyond our limits. Plus, Rahel Seuss on experimentation being vital for democracy. It all connects back to experimental dance.
Okay, great overview. Let's really dig into that first main part then. Cooperativity.
Right, cooperativity.
Miyazaki starts by saying cooperation is fundamental both in dancing and just living together. But on different scales, right?
Exactly. In dance, it's immediate, physical. In society, it's broader, longer term. And he talks about how media tech can bridge these different relationship levels.
But this word operation keeps popping up. What does he mean by that precisely?
He uses operation really fundamentally from the Latin opera work, labor.
Oh.
He sees it as a basic unit of action done by an operator. That could be a person, a machine, a system. Operations use energy, produce things, leave traces.
And cooperation.
Cooperation is when these operations interact, work together, planned or spontaneous. Hmm. Miyazaki stresses that cooperativity, productivity, and media are all tangled up.
So in the digital world, what does this cooperativity look like?
It's this really complex web. Technical operations, informational, symbolic ones, all interacting with our social lives, the material world.
Oh, yeah.
Media connects individual actions to bigger forces. But the problem is, current digital tech often shows this powerful, self-repeating pattern recursive operativity.
Yeah.
And those patterns mostly benefit profit-driven networks, not really based on cooperation for the common good. Ownership of tech and data creates walls, excludes people, concentrates power.
Which brings us to computation. Mm-hmm. He connects this to community, which is interesting.
It really is. He points out the shared roots. Computation, commune, communitas, communication, all from commune is common, together. Yeah. Even computere, to compute, means to add up together, estimate together, foresee together. So computation at its core isn't just technical, it's communal, shared, storing, sending, calculating together.
He gives that striking historical example, human computers in the 18th century.
Yeah, Gaspard de Prony in Paris, around 1791. He organized people as human computers for complex calculations.
Wow.
His big idea was applying Adam Smith's division of labor to information, broke complex math into simple steps, but it was hierarchical, low pay, basically an early information factory.
And he draws a line from that to modern things like Amazon's Mechanical Turk. That feels unsettling.
It is. Miyazaki shows how these platforms continue that exploitation pattern. Hierarchy, but now often total isolation for workers doing digital tasks, too tricky for AI.
Mm-hmm.
He stresses that even with super productive tech under capitalism, it doesn't automatically free people from labor.
But he does offer hope, right? This idea of taming technology.
Exactly. He argues we need to control this power, make it accessible, program it to empower the less powerful. He even says we should practice this like a collective dance.
Right.
And he brings in the German constitutional idea.
Mm-hmm.
Property should serve the public good, a guiding principle.
He then looks back at early industrialization, William Thompson, and mutual cooperation.
Thompson, back in the 1820s, was a fierce critic of competition, said it fueled selfishness, held back women, stopped knowledge sharing, and mainly benefited capital owners. He believed fair cooperation could prevent waste, distribute work and benefits more equally.
This leads into his discussion of the commons. A word with a lot of history.
A huge amount. Miyazaki traces it in England, linking it back to communitas, commune, communication. It wasn't just land, it included the people using it.
Right.
He talks about enclosing the commons, starting way back, like the Commons Act of 1235, allowing lords to grab land, but also the Magna Carta and Carta Foresta, declaring forests as commons' vital energy sources. He asks, what if they'd stead commons?
He really highlights the violence of the enclosure movement.
He does. The 16th century onwards, forests, grazing land forcefully seized, privatized. He quotes Polanyi calling it a revolution of the rich against the poor, Harvey calling it systematic theft, and Marx's primitive accumulation separating people from their means of production, forcing them into wage work.
And Silvia Federici adds a crucial feminist angle here.
Yes, Federici argues capitalism partly rose as a reaction against the relative freedom and wealth peasants had in the late Middle Ages, especially after the plague reduced population.
Interesting.
Conditions worsened with population growth, leading to demands like the 12 Articles. Crucially, she connects the suppression of women's reproductive knowledge, a common knowledge, and the witch hunts to this process, turning people into workers, subjugating women.
And then the surprising link to dance history from that time.
This is where counterdancing gets historical depth. He discusses how dance then was seen as powerful, even dangerous, could trigger collective, uncontrolled movements like Weitstanz.
The dancing mania.
Yeah, though later dismissed as illness, Nietzsche saw it differently connected to Dionysian energy, collective power.
So losing the commons over centuries sets the stage for the modern working class. What about more recently?
Miyazaki looks at the last 50 years or so, 1970-2020. He notes that while the commons idea is weakened, it's not gone. There's potential for it to come back.
Which brings us to commoning. He kicks off talking about GFAM's dominance.
Right, the huge power of digital tech, leading to JFAM as this planetary ulcer of computational power. He uses Vogel's term, this pervasive cosmopolitan energy, echoing Marx on capital's expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Work even suggests we're maybe past traditional capitalism because now our social lives, community itself, are measured, exploited, captured.
And the answer proposed is commoning.
Exactly. Miyazaki says we need to actively push back, reclaim what's lost by building new forms of real social connection, shared resources through commoning.
How does he define that?
As successful solidarity-based cooperation in action, sharing, communicating, collaboratively using or making things. He links it again to commune, computation, communication, seeing digital networks as potential digital commons.
And digitization makes almost anything a potential digital common.
In theory, yes. Because in a true digital commons, without private property rules, you couldn't just destroy copies without permission. But, he clarifies, personal data only enters with explicit consent, obviously.
He connects commoning's rise with PCs in Eleanor Ostrom's work.
Yeah, he notes the academic interest in commoning grew alongside PCs in the 80s and 90s. Ostrom's Governing the Commons, 1990, was huge. She updated the idea of shared resources, common pool resources, used game theory to analyze managing them, mostly in political science.
Right.
Her work stressed that commons need legal and social norms to work, which her Nobel Prize in Economics later confirmed. He also mentions the influence of new institutional economics, like North defining institutions as rules and habits.
Ostrom's design principles for successful commons are pretty famous now.
They are. Clear boundaries, rules made and enforced by users, conflict resolution, recognition within larger systems. He even hints at a link to Foucault's analysis of rules and norms.
He says computation was initially just analytical in Ostrom's work.
In her early work, yeah. She used computational models like game theory to argue against the tragedy of the commons being inevitable. She said the prisoner's dilemma setup needed changing through institutions promoting self-governance, cooperation.
And the link between Hardin's tragedy essay and game theory wasn't immediate, or maybe problematic.
Miyazaki suggests that connection came later. Hardin's original 1968 piece was more about population growth as a moral issue, using ideas of natural selection, needing coercion. Those arguments aren't really in Ostrom. Miyazaki hints the later game theory framing might be a kind of techno-scientific whitewashing of a more conservative view.
But the practical operational side of computation did connect with the commons via the internet.
Exactly. The internet boom from the 90s allowed algorithms, timing, self-regulating systems to help commoning. Legal and computational sides started merging.
Okay.
This is when Yochai Benkler's commons-based peer production emerges, post-dot-com bubble, an alternative to profit-driven models inspired by things like GNU Linux.
Benkler's book, Coase's Penguin, is key here.
Published in 2002, a really nuanced look comparing commons-based production with firms and markets. Benkler argued peer production works differently, not hierarchy, not price signals, but collaboration, shared interests, free sharing. He explored how people coordinate in these systems, contrasting market prices and company managers with decentralized self-selection and error correction in peer production.
He also saw advantages over traditional models.
Yeah, decentralized info storage sharing, no restrictive property rights, reducing transaction costs, people choosing tasks they're good at interested in, more responsibility, more learning opportunities. While digitization lowered costs, making internet commons different from Ostrom's material ones, Miyazaki notes transaction costs don't vanish, they just get externalized or hidden.
Minkler also suggested ways companies could profit from free software, which seems slightly off message.
Miyazaki looks at that critically. Benkler's ideas about indirect value capture focusing on hardware or services.
Right.
He also questions Benkler, citing NASA click workers as peer production, worrying it might echo exploitation like Mechanical Turk. He brings in Gonzalez and Tikkatz, who ask if peer production really escapes market logic or just gets absorbed by it.
So the early dream of peer production taking over hasn't fully happened.
Miyazaki points to GAFAM's continued growth, says we need wider understanding of commoning for it to thrive. We need to intervene while we're still dancing in these systems, which sets up the next bit. Commonism with computation.
Okay, let's get into computation and commonism. Miyazaki tries to make this more concrete by looking at layers of profit-driven operations.
Right. He breaks them down, dominate a destroy extract, regulate compare scale, and basic arithmetic. Shows how they're linked, driven by intentional goals.
Like subtraction.
Exactly. Subtraction seems neutral, but can be used to exclude people for later exploitation. But then he flips it. Subtraction could also be used for comparison to manage shared resources openly as a commons.
He defines a social structure based on commons as commonistic. What does that involve?
It's broader than just shared tools. Includes means of production, resources, material and immaterial, embedded in social systems. Operations like optimizing, accelerating can be turned towards commonization, global solidarity, not infinite profit.
And commonization is?
Actively excluding exclusion. Fostering right. Perpetual connection.
He argues digital work processes, the code, shouldn't lead to enclosing these commons.
Precisely. The code, the legal rules, shouldn't privatize knowledge or resources. Data, algorithms are always in context, can even show obstinacy, resisting developers' plans. Just using tech instrumentally limits its potential. That potential shows up in practice, in glitches. It needs a framework beyond profit, actively stopping exclusion via agreements and algorithms.
He brings back obstinacy as potentially valuable.
Yeah, drawing on Necht, Klug, Scheisser. Obstinacy not just as resistance, but inherent agency, even creative power. Like in art.
He differentiates exclusion from interruption.
Exclusion is forceful, leads to loss. Avoiding it means sustainable circulation recycling, circularity, and commonism. Interruption, though, can be good. Allows interaction, reflection, adjustment.
But interruptions can still lead to exclusion.
If not everyone involved is informed, yes. He uses the example of touchscreen data being used for profiles without consent, like digital theft, enclosing a digital common.
So the goal is to actively counter exclusion.
Exactly. Find ways to strengthen connections, build solidarity. Contrasting neoliberal individualism with communist collaboration. Design and model networks, algorithms, institutions prefiguratively. Like mentally rehearsing dance moves.
Thinking of institutions less as fixed structures, more like dance ensembles.
Yeah, dynamic, generating diverse power. He brings in Seifert's sociology bodies, feelings, space, time-shape institutions, and extends it beyond humans, animals, plants, machines. Echoing Haraway's cyborgs, critters.
Okay.
He briefly notes global warming, new protests in the 2010s, initial positive views of social networks.
And concludes this bit by saying the connections between spheres shaped by computation were explored in the 90s, leading to Kurz and Kittler.
Right, setting the stage for bringing their ideas together.
Let's move to that fascinating pairing, Kurz and Kittler.
Yeah.
He says they operated in separate spheres in the 90s.
Largely, yes. The Foucault-Kittler network in German media studies and the Marx-Kurz-Merit circle critiquing capitalism. Miyazaki wants to connect them. He notes Kittler's main opponent was Habermas. Kittler challenged Habermas's separation of reason, arguing reason knowledge are tied to material tech, power, media.
He mentions Kittler at Humboldt University and Draculus Vermechtus.
That essay collection really cemented Kittler's ideas, influenced German media studies. Kittler brought French theory to Germany. The book showed his tech knowledge, analog digital, mixed with French theory, Nietzsche, Hegel, but mostly left out Marx, Frankfurt School.
Right.
Kittler was hands-on too, built media devices, programmed, used free software Linux early on.
He quotes Kittler on happiness from gramophone, film, typewriter.
Yeah, happiness as learning to hear and see the circuits of digital media technology, finding understanding, maybe liberation, by seeing how tech works, beyond just bourgeois views. Miyazaki implies we need that intimacy to counter dance digitality.
Okay, shifting to Kurz. His 1991 book, The Collapse Der Modernen Regierung, argued capitalism was ending. Pretty radical then.
It's extremely. Right after the Berlin Wall fell, seemed like the free market won, Kerr said, nope, this is the start of capitalism's end. Ridiculed then, but gained relevance after the 2007-10 crises.
Mm-hmm.
He critiqued the market economy's contradictions, stopping vital production but propping up profit-driven firms, called for ditching the modern commodity form.
But Kurz didn't initially focus on digital media in that book.
Not deeply, but he quickly fixed that in his 1997 Anti-Economy and Anti-Politic. There he talked about conditions for emancipation, including a microelectronic natural economy outside the logic of value.
Uh-huh.
Surprisingly positive about microelectronics for a tech critic, argued for synthesizing their productivity with his value critique to overcome their capitalist side. Not just using them, but investigating, appropriating, reshaping automation, networking, critically selecting out capitalist artifacts.
His approach sounds very practical. Focus on use, not just production.
Definitely. Start with application. Production of chips is key, but focus on social spaces of emancipation, transforming, experimenting with tech potential, developing our own hardware software. Goal: abolish private state ownership at the endpoints consumption, use. Prioritize use value over exchange value.
He envisioned a sort of movement starting with consumers using cooperatives.
Yes, a prefigurative movement, starting with needs consumers, transforming passivity into activity, linking consumption and production, considering ecosystems, not via economic value, but needs requirements, a mediated identity of producers consumers.
Through cooperatives.
He suggested networks of cooperatives, consumer housing, cultural, educational, transforming the technosphere sector by sector, like building co-ops, coffee co-ops.
Right.
Recognize that mediation in larger networks is critical, should operate by material and technical sharing of tasks, programmed for needed quantity quality, a decentralized planned economy, self-organizing via participation. He didn't detail it fully, but gave three important pointers.
One was about direct versus indirect mediation.
Right. Start with direct, language-based mediation, where production-consumption links are clear without abstract measures like price, like a local market, simple agreements. Contrast that with indirect mediation via value, which optimizes commodity exchange. That's what to avoid.
The second pointer, critically examining society's reproduction.
Yeah, a ruthless socio-ecological politics of revelation. Need detailed measurement, understanding complexities, using unified scientific language standards, but not for profit. Cultivate complexity, don't oversimplify.
And the third drew on the situationists.
Inspired by their psychogeographies exploring cities via walks, experimental maps, Kurz argued we need to examine the cybernetic set of rules of our computationally permeated world, understand consumer-producer networks, develop cybernetic subversion, disrupting, redirecting systems, connects to Bratton's idea of the stack.
Okay, which takes us to discourse potentials,
yeah,
how these ideas developed.
Miyazaki mentions Meretz continued Kurz's work, introducing the seed form concept in 99, drawing on Holtzkamp's critical psychology. Didn't catch on widely in the Econucks movement, though. Uh-huh.
Meretz's later book, Linux & Co., 2000, was more influential, but used a simpler model, drawing criticism. He notes critics like Nuss and Heinrich were at the first Econucks conference in 2001, aiming to link Linux principles to wider economic change, like Benkler later described.
German media scholars were aware of this. Grassmuck, Arns.
Yes, Grassmuck's Free Software, 2002, introduced free software from a media studies view, discussed Econucks, good on intellectual commons, citing Ostrom, but Miyazaki notes limited critique, lack of engagement with primitive accumulation, shows how radical Marxist views like Kurz-Meretz were sidelined in the early 2000s.
He says Marxism's return in German academia was slower than elsewhere after 89.
Seems so. Reintegration was gradual, often via post-structuralists. Figures like Schroeter, Schortz, Marchart were key. Meanwhile, Kittler-inspired German media studies became a university discipline.
And the Marx-Kittler synthesis came much later. Miyazaki puts it in the late 2010s. Schroeder and Hyman presented neocritical media studies in 2016. Significant year. Top companies, all digital, Brexit, Trump election, social networks involved, post-Snowden awareness of algorithmic manipulation.
So that synthesis arose from crisis, liberal middle class, climate change, while the financial crisis boosted commoning.
Yes, the 2007-08 crisis catalyzed interest in commoning. Ostrom's Nobel in 2009 helped. commenting mixed with free software Canuck's pure production ideas, taken up in art, architecture, urbanism, and by Marxists like Federici Midnight Notes Collective.
Right.
He highlights Silke Helfrich popularizing commenting in Germany, initially following Ostrom, later developing her patterns idea, further developed by a Mindel Global commenting system for counterdancing digitality.
Which brings us to the Anacrusis,
yeah.
The kind of prelude to the counterdance itself.
Exactly. Miyazaki sums up communistic cooperativity, Kosi. Preserving commons for solidarity, eco-social needs, linking production consumption via use value, not market exchange, excluding exclusion, reducing private property, allowing temporary exclusion only for re-inclusion responsibility, grasping planetary systems.
Mm.
Stresses Kasi is social and medial practice, needs critical media humanity, a social science input.
He brings in Reckwitz on social practice, linking it to dance.
Reckwitz sees social practice as routine bodily mental activity, fundamentally movement, like dance, acknowledges subject-object relations, need to counter media oblivion by focusing on media operations rhythms within social practices, makes counterdancing digitality a practice of sociality and mediality.
Chun's perspective on digital capitalism's operations is relevant, too.
Chun looks at digital capitalism via our habits, behaviors, exposes social network polarization, homophily algorithms reinforcing sameness, killing interest in difference. Critiques how this trivializes racism, pleads for engaging with discomfort, creating better patterns, advocates diversity, anti-homophily in Kosi's social media practices.
And Adam Zak on relationality fits here.
Adam Zak argues social change needs shifting relations via solidarity-oriented synapses, points capable of conflict. Solidarity is about connection quality, not just attitude. Cultivating connection, interaction, relation is a dance.
The success of Kosi depends on bridging interpersonal and transpersonal levels.
Crucial. Mediating between community and wider society. That's core to Merit Sitterludy's seed form theory in Make Capitalism History, theory of overcoming liberation.
Okay.
Defines commenting as voluntary collective disposal relationship generating inclusion. They built theoretical blocks for counterdancing, aiming for trial and error, guided by a possibility utopia, utopia of relationships, solidarity, needs fulfillment.
The seed form theory itself sounds complex.
It maps out change. Resistance grows from a seed form based on preconditions. Crises catalyze change. Seed form establishes itself, leads to dominant shift, transforms into a transpersonal elementary form across the network.
Wow.
Basic principle, networked, solidarity-based action forms inclusion relationships for an inclusive society. Meeting material, symbolic, social needs, diverse means media. Resource limits mean conflict. Earth's needs matter, but priority is evenly distributed needs satisfaction. Dissolving individual versus others, contradiction via mutual benefit.
And making this widespread needs more.
Needs social recognition of the alternative practice, achievable path from seed to elemental form. Highlights mediation as social practice, indirect relationships via means connecting unknown people globally.
And since means are media, mediation is a media practice.
Right. Media studies can help design reciprocity-based, transpersonal, unconditional mediation of inclusion. Help us experience transpersonal cooperation with our senses using media aesthetics, art, history, insights.
He notes, make capitalism history. Sees these networks themselves as commons.
Yes. Networks of relations, needs, consumers, producers, or commons allow shifting perspectives moving recursively through levels. Not just resources, but the networks sharing, managing them are commons, intertwining multiscalarly.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, microstructurally, a commons is a relationship connection enabling cooperation. The relationship itself is a commons. Basic operation. Transmission.
Back to media theory, concepts of transmission.
Draws on Kramer, semantics of transmission, and Tholen, transmission's broad significance, stored as long-term transmission underlying computation. Kramer focuses on transmission via embodiment, temporalization, the mediator, figuration of the third, quotes her. Messenger doesn't command speech, replaceable by non-humans.
He then imagines a transmission network that doesn't exploit the messenger.
A hypothetical algorithm for Kosei. A willful messenger turns a need message into a search for satisfaction means returns to sender upon finding recipient, for example, food producer. Basic structure for a larger Kosei society.
Merit Sitterludy also used stigmergy.
From zoology, termites, complexity science, stigmergy, self-organization via individuals responding to traces, stigmata, left by others' work, ergon, bottom-up view via operations operators.
But there are caveats.
Miyazaki warns against assuming added value from combined operations without reflection can hide norms, discrimination. Commons of commons only work if always open, inclusive, mutable. Same for operations operator.
He defines communistic stigmergy
as self-organized, volunteer-based, decentralized system. Yields relational network of symbolic need messages, helps meet them. Needs multidimensional qualitative messages, not price signals. Existing decentralized networks usually need predefined addresses. Coast needs determination, channel search, first, then find producers, establish relationship via mediation, need to define, negotiate, plan tech material, spatio-temporal aspects for each commons, transmission, message structure, timing, production, possible based on framework, recognizing COSI potential, concretize step-by-step with basic principles, patterns, sets up the next chapter, thinking, practicing this as dance.
Okay, finally, the section that gives the whole thing its name, counter dance. He starts by saying dancing isn't purely instinctive.
Right. It needs learning, conscious effort, oscillates between that effective somatic unconscious level and collective common sense. Just reacting instinctively to profit-driven systems leads to bad outcomes.
So you need to process things.
Process, learn to deal with effects, allows for a dance involving learning, sublimation.
He contrasts dancing with just anger or struggle.
Emphasizes endurance, attitude, elegance, skill, insight, resistance, art. Dance isn't pre-programmed repetition, but not purely spontaneous either. Needs rhythm, rules, patterns, observing, learning them.
But it's adaptable.
Yes. Open, adaptive, responsive, changeable. Can oppose, liquefy rigid drills. Eludes pure control. Commodification.
So dancing is proposed as an antidote to inhuman digitality. It's enclosures, commodification.
A way to suspend, sublate it.
And he claims algorithms, communistic cooperativity can be danced literally.
Not just metaphorically. Argues we need to confront capitalist digitality artistically. As a dance. Effective, discursive, simulating, modeling, fictionalizing, imagining, designing operativities as an effective tech structure, a counter-algorithm.
Wow.
Requires techno-mathematics, algorithmics, rhythmics dancing together. Digitality in COSI needs to be alive and artistic, poetic, prefigurative, future-oriented. This dual approach is vital.
And the path to counter-dancing starts with our bodies, neurophysiology.
First step is examining our own bodies, signals. That's the signaling pathway.
Which leads to the effective somatic. He quotes anger on effects at transitions.
Anger sees effects dwelling at transitions, guarding against closure, especially between physiological perception and cognitive consciousness. Suggests machine timing organizes that inside-outside membrane via effective movement, but notes possible disturbances, delays.
He discusses Masumi's distinction, emotion versus effect.
Masumi separates emotion, describable property, from affect, subdiscursive rhythmic intensity change, indescribable, unpossessable, a kind of commons. Affects are hard to recognize control, fugitive, willful, obstinate, and opening to the environment, examinable with tech measuring subliminal signals.
This affective somatic level is the undercurrent of social cooperativity. The undercommons.
That's Moten and Harney's term, a social poetics where inseparable differences are continually made, structures sociality around the invaluable, not values-based political economy, undercommons. Underground critique fosters solidarity, clandestine labor in subliminal affective somatic networks.
He clarifies the science behind Masumi's early effect theory.
Yeah.
Libet's experiments.
Yes, corrects an earlier typo. Explains Masumi later sourced Libet's 80s research properly. Mentions Schmidgen on the history of brain time experiments, time relations, delays, readiness potentials, sensorimotor signals. So the neurophysiological basis for Masumi's effect theory is a discourse effect. Long history of media, knowledge from neurological experiments, tied to cybernetics history. Libet even studied with a Macy Conferences member.
Libet's 80s research on conscious will was big news.
Huge. His setup showed readiness potentials before conscious awareness of deciding to move and before the movement itself. Challenged conscious free will initiating action, sparked massive commentary. Measurements largely accepted, implications debated.
Criticisms included.
Self-observation being inadequate, unconscious distinction outdated, many motor processes quasi-automatic, hard to generalize from simple movements. Jung disagreed on conscious initiation, Neaton in question measuring isolated spontaneity given prior instructions.
Miyazaki suggests Libet's focus on scientifically proving spontaneity reflects a certain viewpoint.
A bourgeois liberal episteme, perhaps. The desire to scientifically ground free will, Miyazaki argues. If even a twitch isn't fully spontaneous, then careful, thorough learning of a solidarity dance in everyday life is crucial. Not revolutionary twitches, but well-considered, trained, adaptive organization open to the unconscious effect of somatic.
He mentions how Masumi got interested. and Lay's critique.
Masumi, likely drawn by popular free will debates, then found Libet. Lay's later criticized Masumi for strictly separating affect ideology. Miyazaki clarifies it's a misunderstanding. For Masumi, affect is autonomous in how it spreads imperceptibly, influencing ideologies. Quotes, end of the autonomy of affect. Affect's economic power, its reality in late capitalism transverse, needs serious theoretical attention.
Conclusion. Pay attention to the effect of somatic rumblings to resist profit-driven systems.
Yes. Communistic cooperativity needs to start, become operative in this underground of signals, leads to inspiration from learning and cognition.
Which brings us to the final bit. Learning to dance. Moten and Harney's algorithm.
They see effective somatic contagion, synaptic work, currently often obeying logistic capitalism's profit-driven algorithm. Introduce algorithm underground rhythms, contact improvisational violence, disrupting protocols, making systems dance. Miyazaki asks, how promising is algorithm's operativity?
He then defines dancing broadly, lists his positive effects.
Mediating subject environment, generating body knowledge, bioelectrical signals, multiple brain regions. Cites Lima Teixeira, dance intensifies proprioception, central tool for self-consciousness. Christensen, dance maintains psychobiological mental health, positive effects, neurotransmitters, immunity, promotes playful imagination, learning, communication, self-observation, social cohesion, acknowledges exhaustion, injury, but argues positives outweigh, explaining why Homo sapiens kept dancing.
And dancing is cooperative, produces intercorporeality.
Brown's term. Social learning-based solidarity assemblage of movements.
Client.
Dance practices test new community forms, friendship, complicity, experiment with alternative social practices, model futures, polyphonic ensemble, bodies, voices, vibrations, moods, movements.
Manning's movement moving.
Cutting across co-composing velocities, bodying, relates to signaling, vibrating, dancing as embodied timing of neurophysiological signals. Manning's micro-movements perceptions via composing body, vibrating thought space, informing coupling form and force.
He looks at motor learning research, how we learn motion sequences.
Involves implicit, affective, somatic, conscious, and explicit linguistic symbolic procedures. Explicit instructions, rules, patterns, crucial for learning new moves, which become internalized, automatic.
Krakauer et al. On arriving at implicit skill,
is a richly cognitive enterprise building on instruction, imitation, insight.
So both language cues and body feelings matter for learning dance, aiming for automaticity.
Exactly. Linguistic, non-linguistic cues and body movements impact learning, often aiming for internalization. Contrast interruptive, reflective, explicit signals with synthesizing, automating, implicit ones.
Example of sensorimotor synchronization.
Coordinating rhythmic body moves with external beat. Experiments show anticipation errors in finger tapping. Contrast unlearned dancing with learned shows self-control, playing with effects.
So dancing exemplifies interplay of skills, memory, awareness, action, perception, prediction.
Prime example, pattern recognition plus body movement better for learning than passive knowledge. Fundamental coupling of perception action for motor skills and speech language. Prediction is key.
Which leads to the final thought. We must learn to proactively predict, model, practice the future.
That's the takeaway.
So to wrap this up, our deep dive into counterdancing digitality really shows a path for actively engaging with technology, not just accepting it, but using cooperation, body awareness, conscious movement.
And it's amazing how Miyazaki connects history, enclosures of land, knowledge to digital enclosures today, and links the physical act of dancing to the abstract world of algorithms. It's quite profound, really.
It reframes how we interact with tech, like learning a dance, needing adaptation, intention, resisting negative forces, creating positive change together.
Which leaves a question for you, the listener. How might you consciously practice the future in your own tech interactions? Using cooperation, body awareness, maybe even the spirit of dance? What new mental choreographies can you imagine for a more human digital world?
That's definitely something to move with.